Okay. So they can trap me on Sunday. I know that's you guys have trapped me on Father's Day.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's right.
Okay.
Get a room to go on.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:30. I welcome you to the open session meeting to discuss the budget for public comments. The opening and purpose of this meeting is for public hearing to receive public comments on the proposed budget for the fiscal year of 2018-2019. Official notice of this public hearing was posted on the town's website and bulletin board on May 18th, 2018, and was advertised in the Island Gazette on May 30th, 2018, thus meeting notification requirements. Proposed budget highlights. Increased property tax of 4.5 cents per $100 of value, raising the current rate from 28.5 cents to 33 cents. Increase in monthly residential garbage service of $1 from $6 to $7 for the first cart, and $2 per month from $12 to $14 after the first cart. Increase in monthly commercial garbage of $4.28 per cart from $26.25 to $30.63. The residential first cart and commercial rates have not changed in 5 years. This is necessary to cover the associated costs that have increased. Changes to the water and sewer rate structure. Residential, new rates for the portion of monthly usage over 12,000 gallons. Commercial and out of jurisdiction, new rates for the portion of monthly usage above 70,000 gallons. If you do not use more than 12,000 gallons, your rates do not change. If you do not use more than 70,000 gallons, your rates will not change. An additional full-time staff member in administration and one in recreation, and a 2% cost of living adjustment and a 2% merit pool for the full-time staff. With that, I would like to... Yes,
but
John.
You did not read this one on...
Yes, the one I didn't read about the 13 cents is because there is some particular news being investigated by our financial director. I didn't have an opportunity to mention that. I should have. Therefore, to start this meeting, I would like Arlen to just hit some of the high points of the budget, and then we can entertain any questions that anyone may have.
Since we covered the budget in detail at the May 15th meeting, I was just going to go through, again, very, very high level. There are seven funds that make up Curie Beach, the general fund being the largest. Then there's the water and sewer fund, stormwater fund, PAL bill fund, which is for street repairs and maintenance, federal asset forfeiture fund, sewer expansion reserve fund, and beach protection fund. So you see the proposed budget for 2019, the grand total of those seven funds is a little over $8 million. The original budget from this current fiscal year was just about $7.6 million for all seven funds in total. I was just going to hit a couple of the highlights for the general fund, which is our largest fund. Again, as the mayor had mentioned, a 4.5 cent tax increase. The new rate would be 33 cents per $100 of value. The increases in the garbage collection fees for the first cart from $6 to $7, for after the first cart from $12 to $14, the increase in commercial garbage from $26.25 to $30.63 per month. The recycle, originally we're proposing a 13 cent per month increase. We have now gotten some new information from our recycle provider. Waste management that may lead to some more significant increases for the next fiscal year. There's some issues with sending recycle. They use different providers that then ship the recycled materials to China, and China is not accepting as many as much of that material. So it's impacting the cost for anybody that does recycling. So that's a to be determined yet. So hopefully within the next week or 2 weeks, we'll have an answer on recycle fees. Also, as Greg, the mayor mentioned, 2.5% cost of living adjustment and a 2% merit increase pool. Two additional full-time employees, one in administration, one in parks and recreation. The general fund budget does include a little over $207,000 in capital expenditures. That's primarily vehicles, equipment, and some improvements at two of the beach accesses. This budget also includes a transfer of about $9,800 to the Beach Protection Fund, which is a kind of a reserve fund for any beach-related issues, whether they be beach nourishment costs, repairs to dunes, planting sea oats, anything beach-related. There's also a contingency of $9,850 in the general fund budget. This is in the event that anything arises during the course of the year that was not actually budgeted for. And then I'll just say, in total, the general fund budget is 13% greater than the current year budget. That's primarily related to debt service. We did take a $5 million loan to build a new fire station and expand and renovate town hall. Water and sewer fund, some of the highlights, again, the mayor had covered these in regard to the rate structure for residential customers. This would only impact those customers that use more than 12,000 gallons in a month, which is a lot of water. Also, for commercial and out of jurisdiction, a new rate tier if the usage is above 70,000 gallons. This budget also includes about $240,000 for capital expenditures with infrastructure projects and equipment purchases. This fund also has debt. There's various loans outstanding for previous projects and equipment, so about $259,000. And this budget is actually up about 2.1% from the current year. The third fund that I'll just highlight is the third largest fund, which is the stormwater fund. There are no proposed changes to the fee structure. This fund also has a debt of a service of about $108,000, projected capital expenditures of $96,000. And this budget is actually significantly less than the current year because of the number and size of capital projects were done during the course of the year. So that was what I was going to summarize as the highlights okay. of the budget.
The only other point that I would make is that this is a completely balanced budget, meaning we are not using any other fund balances to hide the needs. Other fund balances are being held for emergencies, which is where they belong. Therefore, we are now open to anyone who has questions on any of the points relative to this budget or would like to understand a little more detail. We're prepared to talk to you. Do we have anybody signed up?
Yes, it is.
Should I stand up here for you?
That's fine,
yes,
sir.
Thanks. Just tell us your name and your address.
Yeah, DJ Peterson at 214 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. It's my first visit to the council. My family's been on the beach for a long time. I've been coming here for over 50 years, so seeing a lot of changes. First of all, I just want to thank you for doing a great job. I think the services are great, and all my interactions with the town, whether getting some building permits. We did have a problem in this past couple of weeks with a sewer line, and the town was really good about responding, especially over the holiday weekend. I really appreciate the public works guys and Robin getting people out to help us. We think we got the problem fixed. So I do support the budget. I think the services are great. I guess one observation I would support, I work in international business, and the thing with the problem with recycling is really serious. It's part of China's becoming a great power, and they just decided to stop accepting all our plastic. So it's, every city is going to be dealing with this. The problem is that we don't have the capacity to deal with it, so where do we put it? My one question to the board was, it's obviously we have a 13% increase this year. It's debt service related heavily. could we have perhaps voted on this, or really has when the decision was made to move forward with the building, so it just be paired together? So obviously from your increases and the other parts of the budget, we don't want to say no to the increased funding for debt service, because that would crunch the other parts of the budget. I don't want to do that. But so it seems like we really don't have a choice now, we just have to do it. I mean, maybe we could have had options down the road or ahead of time. Just some thoughts on that.
The only comment that I would make to that is that the building was approved by the previous council, which was some of us, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of us, but was some of us. And there were multiple public meetings on that, and there were also two tours with the department heads to take people through, and you may not have been here, to take people through the old facilities to point out the problems and explain why they needed new facilities. So that work has been done in the past, and I do know that not everybody is up to speed on that. But anybody else want to speak?
Can you elaborate on that just a little bit so we understand? Because just like you said, some folks are new. My question would be, are most of these increases coming from the fire station?
The increase in property tax is directly related to the funding for the fire station and the expansion of town hall. Yes, it is. That is, the rest of the budget is pretty even. There are some reductions and in some areas and additions in others, but the rest of the budget, if you take that out, I think it's actually...
Yeah, it will be up slightly. It would still be up, but yeah, the majority of it, the loan payments for the mm-hmm. fire station and town hall are about $450,000 a year.
So this increase would service it then for the next bunch of years, this jump here.
Yes.
I mean, the same.
The design is, I know people have heard me talk about this, there's 260 lots, about 400 new structures we can have. We have to look at how do you support those structures with services. We also have to look at the houses that are now bungalows and will probably rise up to be much larger as families age out. The other item, oh, I lost my train of thought on that. That's not good. let's see.
So the
I'm sorry.
Sure.
But the current building was built 25 years ago. There's been an effort to add storage to that building. There was a lack of evidence room space for the police. There was lack of a lot of the computer room and the computer work we do in working with looking at iPhones, information for people who are felons. There was a lack of space for our firefighters to actually sleep, because we have to maintain service round the clock, 24 hours. There was just a horrible lack of space, a lack of maintenance space, a lack of space for the police department, like I said, the evidence room, as well as for the police officers. We had one room where all the officers would kind of congregate and try to get all their tickets and everything taken care of. And then we had an administration. We had many years of records that we need to store that we hadn't or don't send to Iron Mountain. And so there were space requirements there and space requirements in each department. So we went through that level of detail. I don't actually have that with me now, but clearly you can talk to any of the department heads and they can tell you pretty precisely what the requirements are as to why we expanded. Now, we did expand current space. We didn't tear down the building. We expanded it in an effort to reutilize the space at the best cost we could. And our ratio, how do we look on a ratio of debt? Because then people may worry about that.
Yeah, we are well within state guidelines. State guidelines are 8% of the assessed value of property within the town. We are slightly less than 1%.
So just to let you know that the debt service is not people aren't going crazy here with borrowing money to get things done. We are very cognizant of the state requirements, and we plan to do much better than that.
How many engines do we have before? Is it the same amount now for the new haul?
Yes, we do have the same number of engines, right?
We have two pumpers, two utility trucks, a small beach truck, and then the emergency services truck that you sometimes see.
And the gators.
Right, for the lifeguards.
For the lifeguards. And
so one of the issues is that when we built the current fire department, so one, as Craig said, this was a long-term effort. The town has actually been talking about expansion since 2005 on what were the right things to do. We put it off. The previous council at our January meeting in 2015 said this is a priority and we should start working on it. Through late 2016, we worked with the departments to build the requirements. We got the first set of architectural drawings in late 2016, early 2017, and the initial budget was way higher than the council could stomach. So it was a two-story building and a lot more space. So we went back to the department heads with, look, we're not paying for that, so we got to pare down the requirements. So what are the state requirements that we have to meet? And then what do we need? And our plan was for the next 25 years. So that's what the council was discussing with the department heads. What do we need to support the next 25 years? And when you start looking at 25 years, Craig talked about the 400 lots that are still available, 200 lots.
Yeah,
the other structures. Properties that we think will convert from basically old cottages to huge monstrosities. I'll call them that. No one else would count.
32 foot.
That's right. But to much larger businesses and the loading that does. And when you look at that, then the department heads could say, okay, well, if you say all those are the conditions we're trying to build for, here's the space that we need to service that. And so then we work back through an iterative process with the architects on, okay, the council's not willing to spend more than this. We set the cap at $5 million and that's where we're going to be. The department head said, here's what we need for 25 years space-wise, and then the architects had to solve that. And we think they did a really good job with that. Then we approved that process. During the last election, everyone that ran and got elected and the people that didn't ran, except for one person, all said during the election that they supported what we were going to do. So even in the electoral process, the one candidate that said they were running against it didn't get elected. So I'm not saying that says everyone's happy, but at least that's the process that we said. As soon as the council came on, then we approved it, directed our finance officer to get the best funding we could, which is what he did. And then the council had to make a budget that closed with that. We feel the budget will close with the money. Just like we heard about the recycling, that doesn't mean there's never going to be another tax increase, right? I've been on council. This is my third term. About every 3 or 4 years, something changes in what we require as a town to service that. If you look at the average increase to a citizen, it's $100 a year. Because the county reduced their taxes, which was good. So they reduced by 1.5 cents. We went up by 4.5 cents. I'm looking at Garland to make sure I get the numbers right. So that's net a three cent increase per 100 or 1,000, however the word works. And if you look at what that means to the average citizen, it's $100 a year for what we're gonna get out of it. And what we're getting is 25 years more of being able to provide all the service at the level that we currently provide them. That's what the council's looking at.
There's one other item that you should be aware of. Your tax is a combination of county tax and your city tax. Your county tax is about 55 cents and is about 65% of your total tax bill. We run the town on the rest. So when you'll hear things about a 16% increase, that 16% is based on the smaller portion that is the city tax of your entire tax bill. And David's correct. The average was 94.
Yeah.
$94 per home is the average for the cost.
So if your home's worth a lot more, you pay more than that, right?
Yeah.
If your home's worth a lot less, you're paying less than that. But if you look across all the properties in town, and I've got a spreadsheet, if you want to see yours, I'll be glad to show it to you as yours. It's $94. It's still $94. No one likes to pay more. I mean, but I think our responsibility as a council and the previous council as well is we're responsible to make sure that when you say, you as citizens say, this is the level of services we expect, that we can provide that. And I think if you look at our fees and our taxes across the broader community in the area, we think, and maybe it's because we're in a little bowl, right? Maybe we're just thinking happy thoughts, but we think that the town is providing you the service level you want at a good price. That's what we think, right? We're trying anyway, right?
No, I appreciate what you inherited more or less. And I also appreciate...
Well, I was on the previous council, so I didn't inherit it.
I opted to do this.
Yes, three of us didn't inherit it. We were involved.
No,
that's right.
I appreciate that effort. And I'm new, so I'm trying to get more involved and kind of participate a little bit and support you all. Just like
Please
you said,
do.
We're the first ones that come to you when we don't have the support.
That's right.
So I appreciate that part of it. Are there other things that you considered overall that could be assets to our town? And I'm sure you've probably heard this before, as far as like number one, parking. I think that's a big revenue. You're smiling already.
So we did look, we've looked at that every
year. To help.
I guess the reason I'm smiling is that the previous council did look at that very seriously. And we just don't have as parking places to support charging for parking.
Factually, where we are right now, and Joe is fixing this.
No.
Factually, where we are, we have approximately 492 town spaces. When you dedicate some of that to the local, if you would dedicate it, give you a sticker and say, hey, you park there and pay for the equipment for all the parking, we did a pilot. We could not close on the cost. Now, we do have parking problems, and what we are working on right now is defining how we are going to manage parking so that we can all enjoy our space, we can all enjoy our town, we don't have people parking where they shouldn't park. And once we've established that, is paid parking a potential in the future? Well, it could be. It could be. Unless Uber unpopulated trucks make paid parking, you know, or undrivable, make paid parking a thing of the past, right? But it's possible. Right now, we really don't have the control, my opinion, and we need to get control. And then we can, once we know what we're going to do with parking, where people can park, where they should park, mark it so they park correctly, and enforce when they don't. After that, then maybe you can put kiosks or meters around that would charge people for that.
So the bottom line is we really don't have the space.
Well, there is a lot.
It's not revenue positive is the issue.
Yeah, it's not.
We're not going to make money on parking.
Super expensive. We can make Bristol Beach look cheap, but even then, you know.
Well, we're not going to make money.
But you know what I'm thinking? All that river road building.
They're all coming down here.
Yeah,
without a doubt. That's why we're working now. We have to look forward. We're working now to try to offset some of that by tightening up some of the existing laws. More enforcement. So yeah, you may get a ticket if you park somewhere you might have parked for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to work through that.
But we're trying to work through all.
So to answer your specific question, it doesn't generate revenue that will help us. So because we don't have enough spaces. So between the cost of enforcement and the cost of the equipment, because we had them come and do a presentation on how much we'd make, it's after you net everything out, it's less than $20,000 a year. And if we don't have the enforcement right, when you put meters up, it pushes people back into the neighborhoods, and then people aren't going to like the fact that we can't enforce getting them off of places we've allowed people to park. So there's two issues with paid parking. One is we have to make sure that if we ever do do it, we're set up for it and fix all the issues that are happening right now, where everyone feels that you can park anywhere you want in the residential area of town. And if we allow that and then do paid parking, what's going to happen is all our citizens are not going to like everyone parking in front of their houses, because that's what would happen. It happened to Riceville Beach in the 80s. Because I grew up here, so I watched it happen in the 80s when Riceville Beach became the parking Nazis. So I lived through it. And so that's why the first step is to clearly identify how people can park and start making them park that way. And that's going to be a problem. At our last meeting, we had about 30 people here, and all of them were negative about anything to change any parking. Yeah, one person was positive.
No, there were actually two.
All but one, okay, or two, sorry, the majority was very negative about changing any of the parking policies, even though some of them have been in since 78, to enforce them, because we wrote a bunch of tickets and a lot of people were unhappy about it. Even with that, parking revenues are not going to help us. Carolina Beach, if you take out Freeman Park, doesn't really make money on parking. But because of Freeman Park, they say they make $1 million on parking.
Do we know how many, David, how many spaces they have compared to our 492?
Oh, I think they have more than 1,000.
1,400, I
believe. Yeah, more than 1,000 spaces.
Because it is interesting to look at their budget. That's where they're trying to drive a lot more revenue.
Yeah, well, and if you look...
And they're going to charge Curry Beach more.
Curry Beach more, which is interesting.
And let's put it this way. What we want to do right now is protect your property from visitors who do not respect it.
Right.
Yeah, let's put it that way. That's really our next intent. Protect your property from the visitors who are not respecting it.
We were in Jersey Mike's. Excuse me, Craig, but we were in Jersey Mike's just up in Wilmington, and somebody got a discussion of where you're from in Curry Beach. And proud of it. He says, "Oh yeah, free parking."
Yeah,
that was their first reaction.
Which is
probably not our first, what we wanted to think.
Well, that's not to say we shouldn't do paid parking, but it won't be helping us on our budget.
It doesn't help the budget.
Yeah, that's not to say we won't do it, because I think over the long term, if we don't do anything, it's just going to build and build and build. So I think the first thing is enforcement and getting the word out that you can't just park everywhere like happened Memorial Day weekend. Right, I mean there were multiple people that called multiple commissioners about that issue. We're gonna probably do some roping off on E Avenue and I Avenue. I would imagine Joe hadn't answered it, but I would think that there's gonna be signs on the stop signs that are on the front row say no parking within 15 feet, and we'll be ticketing people when they park. So because the intersections were where people were concerned getting out, so there were safety issues. So I think. This was going to be one this summer that we knew it. We tried to do something fast. We weren't fast enough. But I think this summer is going to be the summer where we're going to have multiple citizens in here talking about why is parking not out of control.
And we will discuss it at the end of summer. And we'll make changes that we need and have in place for next year. And we need to address it at the end of next year. We'll do it then.
Right.
It's going to be a work in progress until we go to paid parking. Yeah.
Please be part of the discussion. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to try some things. And when it looks stupid, or you say, did you guys consider this? Well, you know, we'll take a look at it. We surely will. But we plan to do something.
Anything else about the budget, sir? Been a long day.
Yeah. I have just one question on the new staff. Again, Sandy Antor. Is it Nancy? Is it Corey?
Yeah.
So I was just curious, as to how does that affect, or where is that coming from? How many total employees are there? And then what is the addition of two new? Because I know working, it's hard to get one. It's hard to get a part-timer. And is that what you're proposing, covering benefits and all those other parts that come with just those two titles?
Right now, I think we have 44 employees. Is that the total? There's 44 employees between fire, public works, police, and administration and finance. So we have 44. We would be growing in two areas. First area would be in recreation. Recreation with the Oceanfront Park, with the community center. Nikki has done a tremendous job and has brought in $26,000 in additional fees this year. So by avidly working to rent these facilities, that has created a significant workload, and you're going to try to continue to grow that revenue stream. So there will be some additional support there. Now, we're not talking about a college-educated support like Nikki is. Nikki's incredibly good, but it would be support for Nikki. I believe that's, I'm speaking correctly, Nancy, if I recall that.
And we're going to cut back on the part-time, hours for people helping with support and programs and stuff, and that person will be a support person and will be here when Nikki's gone and somebody's got to meet somebody about a rental at Oceanfront Park or something. So it's the next step in the process of she's doing a good job and the program's going, and the revenue is directly backing up for Parks and Rec.
The other position is actually going to be part of administration. We have four people in administration. One of them is Nikki, so we would actually be adding to Nikki and to administration. The administration folks man the window, take all the payment bills. The administration folks do all of the work associated with council. I'm sorry.
They answer the phones.
Well, all the upfront services that you experience when you deal with the town on an administrative level, basically. And as the town grows, we believe that we will need that support. Plus, we need to have ourselves prepared for turnover in positions. Like Sonny retired, we have other individuals retiring. We want to make sure that we are staffed accordingly so that as leadership turns, we don't have a gap. So it's always a question as to what you add, what you won't do, what haven't you done, what will you do, but we do watch that. And take a little bit of on faith from the department heads, but not a lot.
Well, and this, Nancy's been asking for 3 years in the budget, and we've cut it out 3 years in a row is the other thing.
Yeah,
so we have depressed the need. I think that's the other thing about staffing. You're exactly right. I would say that you have to continually monitor and pay attention to what's happened, right? And so that has been cut. I think it was 3 years. Has it been 3 years, Nancy, that you've asked and we've said no?
We only said no three times.
There you go.
Other council.
Yes, she likes this council
better. We're slipping.
There you go.
Anything else, folks, associated with the budget? Okay.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I closed the hearing. You need a motion to adjourn.
Oh.
No, he...
That is it. We were just opening the hearing.
Close the public hearing.
Make a motion to adjourn. Sorry.
I thought we did that.
I thought we did too.
You did that.
He knows how to read. There he goes. Keeps us straight. Keep us straight. Good job.
Nice to meet everyone.
Hi, David. I didn't say hello. I came back. Greg Germain.
David Hoagland. Good to see you.
And I definitely know you guys are looking for another revenue stream, which is great.
Good
job, properties. How you doing, John?
Sorry.